So Sam asked me last night to come with my testimony of salvation, not my latest testimony, which was I got up today healthy, thank you, Jesus. But anyway, what's that?
Oh, just the kids, yeah.
Oh.
Kids, go. Morgan is ready. She is with me. Ready. Five and six-year-old pre-kindergarten in the first grade of some age. I don't know.
Okay, my story begins upstate New York, born in the late 50s into a nice religious family. We were good people. We were. I was part of a denominational church called the Dutch Reform, which is like Methodist or Lutheran or whatever. A nice place, nice people. We all got dressed up, but they did not preach the gospel. And for those of you that aren't from the Bible Belt, that's pretty much the way it is in the Northeast. There are believers up there, but it's not like here where you can hear Jesus music at Walgreens. If that happened here, there would be a lawsuit. But anyway. So we were part of this church, and we were, as I said, we were good people. And my sister May, who some of you have known, and you've probably heard this testimony before, when she was about 13 years old in 1970 or 71, our pastor, along with a friend of his who had a church across the river, sent a bunch of his kids to a retreat. They were in the youth group. Kids 12 to 15 or whatever, to a retreat, and it happened to be during the Jesus movement. And unfortunately for my pastor and my parents and many of the parents there, these kids all came back radically saved, and they were a major embarrassment to this very mellow, very religious church. And they became radical people, and they preached Jesus in a small town that didn't do that. And so my sister became the fireball in my home, and she still is today, if any of you know her. And as I said, an embarrassment. She would even stand up in church and rebuke the pastor sometimes, and so, which was incredibly embarrassing. And I can remember as a 13 or 14 year old, she would take me to the beach with her friends, and I was trying to be cool and trying to, you know, fit in and maybe talk to some cute girls next to us, and then my sister would begin preaching to them. And so it was a bad time. And even on my first day of high school, I can remember walking into high school. My sister was a senior, I was a sophomore, and I'm trying desperately to fit in and be cool. And my friend came over. He says, "Is that your sister over there praying with all those other people?" And I was like, I think I went home and said, "Mom, we got to do something about May because I think that's illegal what she's doing." So, but from the time I was about 12 until 14, my sister preached the gospel in my home, and it was probably some fire and brimstone, and I might have gotten saved. I don't really know, but we were turn or burned. But my sister went to school, college, and she came back, and she was a lot cooler than that. But my life had just gone on my own trajectory, and it was the trajectory of going to college and becoming something and living the American dream, and that's what I did. And I went to college, and I did that. But eventually, in the 80s, I'd gotten my own business. And all those years that I was living my own life, my sister had gotten married to a wonderful Christian man, and they lived a Christian life. And even in the midst of my craziness, I could always come back to home, and I would stay out with her husband and she, and they would just talk about Jesus. They wouldn't preach to me, but they didn't avoid that. Their life in Christ was important to them. And they lived this life. And it was different from the church life that I'd grown up in. They were in Christ. And it was cool. And she was going on that trajectory like this. And she lived in peace. And nothing upset her. And there were ups and downs. But it was always a place that they just let me stay there and be crazy. I would go out to the bars until 3 o'clock in the morning, come to her house and stay there, and they wouldn't wake me up, but they'd be out in the porch praying or talking about the Lord, and they would include me. And in the late 80s, I had my business, and it had failed, and I was in the midst of that generation of the 80s where greed was good. if you can remember that movie. And I was striving to make a lot of money and do those things, and it all ended crashing upon me. I lost my business. I lost everything. And I was at the end of myself. And I guess that was really my come to Jesus moment, because I realized at that point, whether I could articulate it or not, I was lost. Whatever I was shooting for wasn't working out. And a lot of people around me even had all the things that you would want, and they were still lost. They had money, and they had good jobs and everything. And I looked to my sister, and she, what I wanted was what she had. She had a relationship and life in God. And I talked to my little sister on the phone, and she walked me through who had been saved, and she walked me through the prayer of salvation. And at that point, my life changed. I realized that the peace of God came in at that point. It was October of 1987. I was 30 years old, and my life has changed. And ever since then, I was on that trajectory, and I wanted that. And, you know, I didn't have an incredible conviction of sin, like how horrible I am, or but I knew that I needed what my sister had, and she had a rock-solid foundation and a relationship with a living God. And over these years, and I've shared this with other people, I think now more than ever, daily I'm convicted of my sin. I'm convicted of how lost I am without a Savior, how necessary it is for me to wake up every day and thank God that I'm in Him. So I guess that's it.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I'm so glad Chip's saved.
Yeah.
That is. We do that so that you can be encouraged and hear the different stories that happen. And also, if there's something about your story that's similar to Chip, Chip would love to pray with you and to talk with you. And so Chip and Joanne are Jesus-loving people, and so are their kids. And so we're so thankful for them.